Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, Mark Caboli giving us a little extra today. Football Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always, though, count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Jason Lockenfor joining us at the bottom of the hour. Mike Tomlin's weekly news conference can be heard right here on the Fan at noon. Any burning questions you got? Any fire in your belly?
No, I think actually you should bet on how long the opening statement lasts. 20 minutes? Nah, probably a good 13.
Mm-hmm.
13 of you talk about if you're going to end up taking, you know, nodding off a little bit, that would be the time to do it. That 13 minutes of New York Jets' 1967 Jets, you know, or whatever, won the title. Joe Namath is Justin Fields and blah, blah, blah.
We will react to the Tomlin press conference on our show tomorrow. The most newsworthy nuggets and pieces of information, I'll tell you what we very rarely play any of is that.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do we get into what he had to say about the team that they're going to play.
Yeah.
Because it's always, it could be the 0-15 Browns, and they haven't lost a game in Mike Tomlin's mind. And that's what you would expect. But, yeah, I get very little use for that.
There would probably be some questions about how Aaron's returning to the Jets, and he's obviously not going to put too much thought into that at all. I mean, the only question is what is going on with Hayward at this point? Does he know? Is he willing to say? Is he going to say he's playing? I mean, that's it. I mean, he has to know it's coming. Other than that, I don't see anything. That's a burning question right now. You know everything's going to happen. I mean, you know who the starters are. You know what the thought is. Maybe Justin Fields.
Right. That's where I would ask, do you think that you have a beat on slowing down or stopping Justin Fields now that he's their quarterback?
Yeah,
because you know him so well.
You got to keep him inside the pocket, or at least I wonder if they would have a spy on him. I doubt that. They're anti-spy. They're not going to spy Lamar Jackson. They're not going to spy Justin Fields for the most part. But that's the only way he's going to be able to beat you. I mean, I'm sure that's a possibility, but I just find it hard to believe that they're going to go into New York and Justin Fields is going to light him up.
I would agree with that. I mean, everything we saw from Fields from a throwing the ball standpoint in the preseason wasn't very good, and the reports out of Jets camp were just failure.
I mean, not the reports, the videos. People splicing things together. It's like, ooh.
It did not look good for Justin Fields. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. How do we expect Rodgers to play in game one?
It's still the unknown. I mean, all we know is what we saw from him in camp and practices. And, I mean, I wouldn't even go off of what he did last year or late last year. That's a whole different system and different Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is obviously a guy that's come in here and actually looks like he's having fun and wants to play here. Does that have an effect on the team? I don't know. I mean, bottom line is, I mean, this team's going to be as good as he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not breaking any news here, but as long as he plays above average, they have a chance to win every single game. And I don't see anything in these practices, mind you, his practice and whatever, that leads me to believe he's going to be awful. I mean, at the worst, he's going to be average. At the best, he's going to be above average. He's not going to be MVP. And I think with everything else surrounding him, it gives him a chance to win every game.
I think, go ahead.
Calvin Austin, good to go?
Yeah, he looks like it. He looks like he's ready to go. Only one that may be a little bit iffy is Herbig, and that's been, 3 weeks? He's been, you know, kind of quiet with where his rehab is. Highsmith's ready to go, so he's the only one. And do you need Herbie. You'd like to have him, but you don't need him at this point. Maybe Benton. Benton was dealing with a chest, but I could see him still playing as well. Obviously, Kuntz will be playing.
How about Derek Harmon after this week?
I would imagine they would wait. Once you think he's ready, then wait. Wait a week. Would that week be week four in Ireland? So you play him, then give him the extra week off to rehab, you know, to recover. I don't know if it goes that far out.
I don't know this, and now we're looking like way ahead down the road. That college game between Kansas State and Iowa State in Ireland, the field was bad. It was bad. Guys were falling down left and right. Now it was raining the entire time. This just in, it rains in Ireland. So, I mean, if he ain't played by then, I don't know if that's going to be the right place to do it.
I mean, the Meadowlands is garbage too.
Yeah, just ask Aaron Rodgers.
Just ask anybody, Zach Banner. I mean, I asked somebody the other day, one of their coaches, I said, is that field still garbage? He goes, absolutely.
Oh, man, you hate to hear that. Oh, God.
That's terrible.
So, speaking of that, I went back, I looked at Rodgers' first game of the year and the stats for all of those games going back 10 years. 10 years.
You were bored yesterday.
I did it this morning.
Oh, cool.
I did it instead of listening to Harry's morning show. So 10 years ago, Rodgers went 18 out of 23, 189, 3 touchdowns. Then 199, 2 tutties, 311, touchdown and a pick, 286, 3 touchdowns, 18 out of 30, 203 and a touchdown, 32 out of 44, 364, 4 touchdowns, hello. And then it all goes to hell in a handbasket. This is why he's no longer a Green Bay Packer. 15 out of 28 for 133, 2 picks, 22 out of 34, 195 and a pick, then 0 for 1, the sack, and the Achilles, and then last year, 13 out of 21, 167 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Now, did I go the extra mile on the research? Absolutely no, I did not. I am wondering aloud if he had played in the preseason before, and then the last few years or so hasn't played in the preseason, and thus, you're going to be a little bit rusty. I'm expecting a Rusty Rodgers, which sounds dirty now that it comes out of my mouth. Rusty Rodgers. Got one of those on my anniversary night. Anyway, I think the takes that come out of the game, I think the Steelers are going to win. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to play good defense. But a lot of the takes nationally are going to be, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he didn't look good. How's this transition going to be? And I am on the front end. Just going to caution everybody. Relax.
Uh-oh.
Relax. I don't think it's going to look great week one. I don't think that's a hot take. He hasn't played live football getting hit since January. He's in his 40s. It's going to take time. I bet you by the time they get to Ireland, he's going to look pretty good. But I wouldn't expect him to look great this week. I don't think that's a hot take.
I think that he might look better than maybe the offensive line in a running game, though. You talk about a unit that needs to gel and really has to rely on the unit being one to be successful is that group, let alone Aaron Rodgers going back and firing at the wide-open DK Metcalf. So if I'm choosing between who might struggle early in the season, I would say it's the run game and offensive line over Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You?
Yeah, I mean, I think him having DK Metcalf is big. I think that connection is going to be evident right away. Whether it's short passes, whether it's a couple deep passes, whatever it is, I think it's going to be a rhythm type based Aaron Rodgers where he's in a rhythm with DK and then he's going to hit Jonnu a couple times, hit Pat Freiermuth a couple times. It'll be almost dink and dunk, but he's going to get the ball out quick. And I think that'll be evident for what the offense does produce on Sunday is that them being in sync.
You're going to see some stuff from Gainwell, the quick throws to him. Jonnu, we haven't seen much of. So those are two guys that are probably underneath the radar where you come out on Sunday and say, I wasn't expecting those numbers from them. People are expecting numbers from Jonnu, but we just haven't seen it yet from him in training camp
right.
In the preseason. So we're a little unknown. Gainwell's got a handful of things. But if he gets any pressure, I mean, Rodgers is very quick release, get the ball to Gainwell and go. I mean, Warren, too, man. He's one of the better guys in the flat as well, if you're asking him to do that. So I'm curious to see how Arthur Smith puts them all together, though. You know, That's obviously – I think he's talented enough to come up with a game plan that works all the time. I think he is that good of an offensive coordinator. Now he just has to show it, I guess.
I think they come out first play, First offensive series in 13 personnel. Three tight ends.
Four tight ends, huh?
Well, you really do. Let's do the thing here. I mean, you don't see a lot of that. As much as the Steelers could run it, you don't see a lot of that in the NFL. And you immediately are putting the defense in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good call by you, because now you're going to see how they defend it. You come out in the 13. It's something they're going to talk a whole bunch about. The Jets are this week. And Aaron Glenn leading into the game. What are we going to do to defend the 13 personnel? You're going to play nickel? You're going to play base? What are you going to do? And a lot of what Arthur Smith's going to want to do the rest of the game is going to be predicated on how they come out trying to stop that, I would think. The Steelers also went 17 games last year. That's how many you play in a regular season, guys, without scoring a touchdown on the opening drive. I'm not going to say they'll do it against the Jets. Are they going to do it this year? Get a touchdown on an opening drive?
Yeah, they did it in the preseason, right?
Well, Mark, please. We've seen a lot of things happen in the preseason.
They'll hit a big play to DK on the opening drive.
I mean,
This year.
I just want to see them in the red zone early this game just to see. I mean, I would bet almost anything it's DK. DK 1, Darnell 2, inside the 10. I mean, he just loves to throw to DK. I think that's where you're going to see a huge difference right away from the Boswell having 160 points because they have to settle for 3 and kick 6 field goals and them actually putting the touchdowns on the board. I think Metcalf, Rodgers, I think that you don't need to see much more of that, I don't think. I just know that that's going to be a 10 to 11 touchdown season between those two.
You think?
Yes.
Whoa. That's a big number there, Mark.
Yes. I mean, not only are they talented enough to get it to DK, he's willing and looking for him all the time. So I would not underestimate 10 touchdowns. Definitely double digit.
What's the most receiving touchdowns in a season by a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Probably Antonio. Didn't he have like 16 or something?
15 in 2018. Right. And you're saying you could get double digits. Well, they better. I mean, shoot, you're paying a guy $150 million.
Exactly.
And when we talk about all the miscommunication stuff, all the finer points that are going to need to get meted out, the one thing you're expecting is those guys be on the same page. They did work out prior to even getting on the team plane. So that's a nice little prediction there. What would a successful first game look like for Rodgers? We can talk about that a little bit when we come back. We've got Jason LaConfora at the bottom of the hour. Neil Walker out on vacation today on a little golf trip with the guys. Neil's usually brought to you by and is continued to be brought to you by Mike Camlin Hyundai, home of the Mike Camlin Advantage, oil changes for life.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason LaConfora going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. My wife does this, Freebo thing. You familiar with the Freebo? Oh, man. People post stuff on Facebook. Hey, I'm going to put this out today. It's free. It's Tupperware, or it's a dresser, or it's a lawn chair, or whatever. Come on by. You can take it. Well, my wife wound up putting something out for Freebo yesterday. I didn't even know what it was. And this lady, we were out and about. This lady comes to pick it up. She had no idea where my wife had left the package. And so on the Guardian camera, you just see a woman looking in our front windows, walking around to the back, walking around to the side, all over the place. And my neighbor was like, just so you know, there's someone who's looking in your house. I was like, buddy, I got Guardian.
Yeah,
all right. Good. I got that on lock. I could probably run her social security number by now if I really wanted to.
Yep.
Just a Freebo. So we love our friends at Guardian Protection.
Because you're very much an important guy that you need to have your house protected.
Well, plus the dogs. I mean, we got the whole thing. Huh. Got the whole thing, yeah. What am I going to do? Look at me. You kidding?
You got a baseball bat.
I'd get a moat if I could. That'd probably be expensive to put in. If I was rich, I would have a moat. And I'd have alligators in it, and I'd have hyenas behind that.
Hyenas too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They attack in a pack, and they're tough to deal with,
mm-hmm.
the hyenas.
You have this all thought out.
Well, I'm sort of spitballing right now. So last year, opening game, Justin Fields against the Atlanta Falcons, 17 out of 23, 156 yards, sacked two times, quarterback rating of 91.9. Does Aaron Rodgers outperform that stat line in game one?
Yeah. Because he's going to at least have one touchdown, I think. That's not a big stat line to try to overcome there.
It really is not. Will his quarterback rating be higher than 91.9?
Yeah, I think it will. I think he's going to have a solid game. It's not going to be spectacular, and it's not going to be terrible. It's going to be better than what Justin Fields did. If I recall, didn't Justin Fields have a – was that the game he had a couple – did he fumble that ball and recovered one and almost had a pick? He had a lot of those last year where he got fortunate bounces.
He did have a fumble and recovered it.
Yeah, I think he had about six of those in four games where he recovered his own fumble.
Well, he and Frazier had trouble with the snap a bunch in the early going. Mm-hmm. And that Colts game was ridiculous. That mm-hmm. that lost them an opportunity to win a game late on.
Yeah, I haven't seen that much from Frazier and Rodgers over the past week or two, so maybe they got that figured out.
Because that was an issue earlier in camp. It was
issue day one.
Yeah.
First day, it was bad snap, bad snap. Second day, bad snap, bad snap. And it showed up in the
Did
preseason.
He snap it to Rudolph on the interception? Frazier, I think he did.
Yeah, it was a low snap.
That was an issue at West Virginia. And I'm a big, Zach Frazier backer. But that was an issue early last season. It was an issue with Rodgers in camp, and it was just keep an eye on that. Because that's something he had problems with at West Virginia. Lost him a game at Oklahoma doing that.
You think he would be used to that? I mean, that's all they did at West Virginia from the gun. I mean, but you don't have 350 pounders maybe on your nose too,
right?
Yes.
That plus he's what? If he goes 280, you're lucky, right?
I've always thought that looks to me like the most difficult thing to do in the entire world.
Snap hands up and
oh my god! I got to snap the ball. Yeah. I got to get my head up.
Brace yourself.
Yeah. I got to know what I'm identifying before the play. Then I got to get my head up so I can see what the hell's going on after making sure that the snap was clean. It's terrifying. That and returning a punt
mm-hmm.
looks very scary.
Mm-hmm.
You think Pitt's going to have pretty good field position all year?
Yes. Yes. Because they're not going to, I mean, they're going to try to angle punt it too.
So yeah.
Like, and good luck, like getting off a good angle punt every single time. Like, I mean, sometimes it's going to be a shank every once in a while.
These are college punters.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either going to kick it to that guy and then you're praying, or you're going to kick it and you're going to have a 25-yard punt it every game.
I mean, what was the most impressive part about, like, the return game? I mean, they killed it, special teams. I mean, whether it was kickoff return or punt return, the blocking was just as good as the returning.
We were talking about it before the show when the second that – and you had a great view. The second that Desmond Reed caught the ball, I went, yep.
I said it right before. I was like, you should probably angle it out of the bounce. It would be wise to not kick it to Desmond Reed. Boom. Punt. I was like, oh, boy.
Did you watch Pitt on Saturday? You can't remember what you did?
I'm just trying to – what time was it on? Noon. What was I doing at noon?
Well, you either watched or you didn't. What are you doing?
No, I'm just trying to think. I can't remember that far back. Saturday. I watched a little bit of it, but I had to go to the Thomas Jefferson Bethel Park fifth grade team game. That's what happened.
I'm so happy I asked.
Low kick, wobbly, taken by Reed at the 12. Up over the 15, the 20. Open field at the 30, 35. Still on his feet at the 40, at the 30. He's on his way. Desmond Reed takes it to the house.
Bang.
First punt return of the year, and it's bye-bye, Dez.
That bang was because you had said prior to it, you might want to angle this one.
Yep.
I was hoping, because I hadn't heard the play-by-play, I was hoping they would have had you saying it on the front end there.
I hate how college teams punt the ball. I know it's different rules in the NFL. Just punt the ball. Do you have to sprint out and punt?
Rugby punt.
I hate that punt.
I love it. I love the rugby punt. I like the rugby punt. I like when they spread the formation and they come on in.
I know why
tight.
They do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't
do that in the pros. It's illegal. But it should make punt returns more difficult to return if you're doing it that way, right?
The second he caught that ball,
sure.
Everything was blocked up. And you're like, if he gets ahead of steam, they got zero shot. All right, so if I say 200 yards, a touchdown, no turnovers, good day for Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do they win?
Well, they have. I mean, that goes without saying.
Okay.
That goes without saying. I think if he does that, they absolutely win.
Uh-huh.
They absolutely win. If he protects the football, throws for over 200, throws a touchdown, they're winning that football game.
Okay, let me pose a question to you, too.
Yeah.
How about if it's 315, two touchdowns, an interception, but they lose? Would you be like, well, you know, at least Aaron's playing well?
No.
No?
No, you got to win the game.
So you'd much rather have them win than Aaron looking like, you know, this could be.
Because that game will come back to bite you at some point.
Unless you beat a team you're not supposed to beat.
Well, then
which
don't
is
lose
why
the
it'll
team
come back
that,
and bite you.
Right. I mean, for playoff seeding, you'll look at this game and be like, oh, if they would just beat the Jets, because the Jets will probably be 3-whatever.
This can't be considered a Tomlin game because it's week one, right?
It would be a Tomlin loss, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're a 2.5-point underdog, or excuse me, a 2.5-point favorite on the road. You got to win that game against the quarterback that your owner basically said, we want one of these two guys back, and we all sort of thought, okay, it's going to be Justin Fields, and then that guy goes out there and beats it. Can't happen. However, I will say, weirdly, it'd be the worst thing for the team in the standings, duh. But if Rodgers goes out and slings a thing for over 300 yards, it is going to make you wonder, okay, you tighten this up, you tighten that up, maybe for the long-term success, maybe it is better. That's a good question.
Huh.
You got to win, though. You got to win. You cannot lose this game.
98 yards, but a win.
Well, if they lose, then, I mean, it's more than tightening something up. It's something that is very bad, probably.
Well, because of the hypothetical there, if he throws for over 315 and you lose, something bad happened.
Something bad.
Well, maybe a punt return. Maybe a kick
that
return.
That ain't good.
Well, that's nothing to... You got the up. You went an octave there, baby.
I did. Mark, thank you for... We thought we were going to have you for 15 minutes. We wound up having you for an hour and a half. Yeah,
next time, be a little bit more specific with your text message.
I did want to leave it open to interpretation. You want to hop on with us? You said, sure.
No, I said I have to ask first. Cause...
All right, enough. Go find your parking spot for Tomlin. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, dude.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight 50 Loss.
50-yarder.
Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. We'll see if we can hook up that McAfee thing. All right, Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of In the Huddle. He's going to join us next.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Efforting Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. So we'll either get in touch with Jason or we'll just keep Mark Caboli around. You can't escape us, Mark. You can't quit the Fan Morning Show today.
Yeah, I was about ready to head out the door and you're like, sit down.
You actually were trying the entire time to get to the door, but that's how long it takes you to walk across the studio.
Exactly. So
I was showing Doran my 33-yard attempt, and he just glared at me like I was an alien. He just glared at me.
It was awful.
You planted your leg and kicked the way that you would kick, and
you don't need a lot.
I don't want you to have to go through the embarrassment of trying that on a national television stage.
Yeah, like I haven't been embarrassed on national TV before.
This would be different,
of all, I don't get embarrassed, but...
You don't, because you really were defensive about the whole falling asleep thing.
Well, because that's a lie. I don't like when things are not true, like sort of like the pony tweet of the Cam Johnson stuff.
I mean, you did tell us that morning you thought Cam Johnson was going to win the job.
Yeah, I thought he was going to. Yeah, there's a difference between me thinking he was going to win the job and me being perceived as being told that that wasn't even a competition. No, it was me. And I still think he should win the job, but maybe I'm wrong. But
what do you think's the biggest concern on this roster, apart from
depth, defensive line?
See, that's I'm right there, man. Especially without Harmon these first couple weeks. Is it going to be Wyatt Black who steps in to start?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't think so, though. It might be Loudermilk, the official start. If, I guess it would have to be, right? Yeah, he's been, you know, potentially taking number one reps, if I was allowed to tell you who's taking number one reps. So I would say Loudermilk, he's been around long enough. But it's not like he's going to be a guy that's going to play you 60 snaps. They're just going to rotate those guys in, and Black's going to get his share as well. As of now, we haven't really seen any game day or, you know, game practices of what they're leading up to right now. So we'll probably get a better sense of that tomorrow.
Something that we don't really talk about, how's Joey Porter Jr. going to be this year, you think?
See, I'm a big Joey Porter fan. I think he had a couple really bad games last year. One of them was that Cincinnati game when he was called for, what, 6 penalties? What was it, 3 were accepted, 4 was accepted. Other than that, I don't think he was terrible. He definitely needs to take that jump, and I think he has the two guys he's working with. Osmosis? I mean, just watch Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey perform, and it's going to make it better. So he's not going to be needed to be the number one, too, so that's another plus in his – he can play the one if you need him, but he doesn't have to be the one right now. So, I mean, it's not – unless I'm just doing this training camp thing where everything's perfect and fine, but it's hard to find a weak spot on that defense other than that depth of the defensive line. I mean, everything else just looks solid. But I guess what $170 million buys.
Well, it better be damn good. It better be top 3 in the NFL, if not top 1 in the NFL good. And I think that's a good point, Doran. That we may have said Joey Porter Jr.'s name less than any other Steeler this entire offseason. This entire offseason. And this guy's a big part of their future. He's a big part of their present. And he's sort of the forgotten man in this rebuilt secondary. Here's a text. This is funny. Pitt running up the score against Duquesne was poor sportsmanship.
Is that from Christian Kuntz?
Maybe.
Probably. I mean, it was their burner second account. Team. Their second team is what put it over the edge. I mean, what do you expect them to do? That's exactly what they're supposed to do.
That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
And just by the way, I've pulled up the FCS scores from this week. And you ready for this? Missouri, 61. Central Arkansas, 6. Duke, 45. Elon, 17. Houston shut out Stephen F. Austin. Houston's no good. Illinois, 52. Western Illinois, 3. Kansas, 46. Wagner, 7. Oregon, 59. Montana State, 13. The list goes on. Florida, 55. Long Island, 0. SMU, 42-13. 35-3 Oklahoma over Illinois State. 55-7. 67-7. Pitt, 61-9. West Virginia, 45. Robert Morris, 3. Boston College, 66. Fordham, 10. Get out of here. I mean, seriously, get out of here. Poor sportsmanship.
Well, the problem is I think you owe it to those second and third teamers to give them every opportunity to succeed.
Yes.
I mean, you owe it to them. Mm-hmm. Just go out there and, you know, for lack of better terms, take a knee when you're out there because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's too bad. Exactly. Too bad.
You got to learn about these guys.
Yeah.
You don't have a preseason. That's why you schedule an FCS, and then you schedule a MAC school, and then you play an out-of-conference Power 4 team, and then there you go. Then you're in the conference schedule. It's an escalator. It's one step, then the next step up, then the next step up, and if you have the opportunity to get guys in, when they get in, you're going to run some stuff. You're not going to show everything, but if you get a backup quarterback in, you don't want him handing the ball off 37 times. You want to see what he can do. The only reason that we get a text like that is because it was Duquesne. Is because it's a team in the city.
Yeah, in the city, right.
That's it. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. So there you go. I got no problem with that. In fact, you would have a problem if it didn't go that way. Craig Riley also tweeting that he will hold for you to kick.
Well, Phil Maines tweeted right before that and said that we could hold this at Plum High School.
Ooh, off the turf. That makes it even easier.
Does it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
How do you know? I used to
kick up at the Brewer Stadium in North Belle Vernon, and the grass and divots there were very hard.
Do you have cleats?
Now this is... What?
You have cleats.
Hell no.
Mark.
What are you gonna? What type of shoe are you?
I have like a steel toe boot.
A steel toe boot. So you're gonna wear Timberlands?
Just on one foot. Just on one foot. Yeah, like Mark Mosley. I should get the old school where you tie it back and it.
It flexes up.
Back, but I don't think my ankle could flex that far back.
I mean, if we're doing this and we're doing it at Plum, we got to get cameras there. We got to get Ben Tenuta down there. We got to do this the right way. So I would love to see that. I would also love to see the one bar face mask from Caboli.
I do got my old Bell Vernon helmet at home, but it does not fit.
So you're telling me your head grew since high school?
No, I would assume. You tell me your head's the same size that it was now than it was.
I think once you go through puberty, I don't think your head gets any bigger after that.
Your head grows.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Your head keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Your head keeps growing. I'm sure your head is bigger than it was.
And now he's Googling, does my head grow?
Sure.
According to experts, as with most bones in our body, the skull grows during childhood and adolescence, and it typically completes its growth. I hope my head's still growing. It stops growing by the end of puberty around the age of 18 to 20. Skull is mostly fully formed by the age of 25. However, some bones continue to grow and fuse until the age of 40.
But that didn't
clear it up at all.
But when you have huge brains like myself and Doran, it just makes it bigger. So maybe that's why your head's so tiny.
You know what? Here we go. The only bones that continue to get larger are the skull and the pelvis.
Your rear end.
That's not what a pelvis is.
If I have a big head too, does that mean I'm smart?
Do you think you could fit in your old high school helmet?
Yeah.
All right, we'll set this up.
You think you can, really? You were 190 pounds in high school.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think my head's not too much bigger overall. You know, the body definitely, the stomach got the most of the weight. That'd be a good question, actually. I'd like to see it.
All right, one more segment. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. The plot thickens. Joe Starkey says he could hit a 33-yard field goal.
Says that he could or Mark could?
Then he said, what, from the 16-yard line? No.
I thought you asked Joe if Joe could kick a 33-yard field goal.
And Mark.
He thinks you could do it too?
Yeah, I could kick a 40.
What are you doing to yourself?
What do you think? Speaking of that, I just saw Kel Berger walk by. You think he could kick one? He would say he could.
He would say, yeah, he thinks he can.
I think he'd have a shot.
Nah, he would.
I think I'd have a shot, but I'm not going to sit here and say I'd do it. I can't remember the last time I kicked a damn football. I kicked an extra point, a college-length extra point, when I did a TV story for WVU back when I was in college.
Yeah, I tend to look at those things on YouTube. They're quite hilarious.
Oh, I shouldn't have walked myself into that.
Go on YouTube and look up Adam Crowley, West Virginia. You'll find yourself extremely entertained.
Yeah, they're funny.
I did hit an extra point. There was no rush, though, and let me tell you something. If there was a rush, it's getting blocked.
Joe Starkey's here to catch you on something you did wrong.
What? You can't get me retroactively.
I never said I could hit a 33-yard field goal. I said Caboli could.
I'm asking.
Callis, another thing that Crowley got wrong.
Joe, get your ass in here.
Mother bleeper.
Joe, get in here. He walked away.
He's gone.
He just started a fire and left.
Dropped the mic.
I can't ask a question. What?
Mother bleeper.
That's 2 out of 6 for this special week.
I can't ask a question.
Well, I thought he did say he could kick.
He was talking about you.
It was off the air. This is ridiculous. That doesn't count.
You brought it onto the air.
I asked a question. This is bull. I'm going to swear.
You're close.
I'm going to give you a present by the end of the week, by the way. I have something for your urge to swear as you continue to be frustrated by this game. I'm going to give you a present.
Yeah, my present is I'm going to run you over with my car.
Can you say, is that a threat? Should I go to HR or the police? I mean, you just said it on the air.
I think you could go to, yes, the HR and the police. I'm obviously joking. All right. Fun show. Mark, thanks for joining us for 2 hours, and we thought you'd be on for like 12 minutes.
Yeah. Well, It almost feels like a Monday now, but now it's really a Tuesday, which today's over. It's a Wednesday. Your week's halfway over.
True.
Darn tootin'. We'll have Mike Tomlin to react to when we talk the ins tomorrow at 5:40. First Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Beautiful day, high of 78, low of 55. Gorgeous tomorrow, high of 81, low of 56. Clear skies.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.